You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So now we're having a conversation on our GROW model, and today we're talking, and this week, we're talking to somebody who has a very experienced knowledge in what we're talking about, estate planning, beyond the will, so to speak. And joining us now to give us some perspective is Nadia Pillay from Olimera Financial Services Practice, and she is a practice manager there. Now, just a little bit about Olimera, because it's important that you know we're not giving you a fly-by-night kind of organization here. We're told Olimera Financial Services is well-equipped to speak on estate planning. They offer comprehensive estate planning services, including the creation of your last will and testament, to establishment of a trust, deceased estate administration, and estate liquidity planning. All these big words, she'll explain what that is, estate liquidity planning. Goodness graciousness. Anyways, their personalized approach ensures that each estate plan reflects the client's intentions and protects their loved ones. And that's why we are talking to them about estate planning. Estate planning, by the way, isn't just about writing a last will and testament. It's about crafting a legacy. That's what they always emphasize, these financial experts. From trusts to powers of attorney, let's unpack the essentials of creating a solid estate plan. Again, our guest for this afternoon, Nadia Pillay, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to be our guest this week.
Good afternoon. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I am well. Thank you very much, Nadia. Having a good day so far?
I'm having a great day. Thank you so much for asking.
Lovely. Why is having a will considered the cornerstone of estate planning?
That is a good question to actually start off this conversation. You know, a lot of the times, the importance of a will is often overlooked because of so many misconceptions that people have around it. When in actual fact, it plays such a huge role, you know, in streamlining the process of winding up an estate. So an illustration I actually like to look when you think about a will is a map, you know. Mm-hmm. If you go into a place that you don't know, what's the one thing that guides you to get to your destination? It's a map, right?
Yeah, or GPS.
So, of course you can, yes, yeah. Of course you can get there without the use of a map, but it will take you so much longer. You would have to go around and ask people for directions.
Right,
you would maybe
right.
take a longer route to get there. We're opposed to if you have a map, you just put in the details and you get straight to your destination.
Hmm.
So it's the same thing, that in that a world clarifies your intentions, your last wishes, and exactly how you want to distribute your estate at the time of your death.
Okay.
There's so many uses of a will that people, you know, don't think about, in that you can appoint executors and guardians to help manage your estate and distribute your assets. In the case of if you have minor children, then a guardian will foresee for their well-being. Another thing that a will also does is,
I was going to ask, but I want you to finish what you're going to say, and then I'll ask the question, because I think we left out some definitions we should have given before we get into our conversation. Finish the point you were making, and then I'll go back to those definitions. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I'm done with my point. I was just going to point out that it also, you know, minimizes conflict between family members. So much of the time when you die, sometimes there's so much conflict as to who's getting what.
Right.
Families can fight over the smallest things. There's even clothing.
Hmm.
So having a will in place just puts everything in line that I'm going to leave this for this specific person. And, you know, that's it. Point.
Right.
It also reduces so many legal complications in that the court then doesn't have to appoint a representative
right.
to now handle the administration of winding up your estate. So whether you have like a simple or complex estate, a will truly, truly just simplifies, or rather clarifies the whole process.
Okay. So let's just get into those definitions, because not all of us are as learned as all of y'all. What is an estate? And when we speak of estate planning, what does that mean? And then you'll get into later on, you'll get into the distinction between a trust and a will. But first, let's just talk about our topic, estate planning. What's an estate? And what does it mean to plan an estate or estate planning? What is that? Go ahead.
Yeah. So an estate basically or essentially is if me as myself, I have maybe a house, I have a car, I have my contents, like my clothing in my house, the stuff that I own.
Right.
That itself makes up my estate, whether I have policies, if I have like a life policy, if I if I have investments, that all in itself makes up the estate. Yes. So it doesn't matter whether you have multiple properties, you have one property, or you have just a vehicle on your name, that counts as your estate.
Okay.
And if you say estate planning, that is taking all of that that you have, so your house, your car, all of that, and planning for if something were to happen to you, how would those assets be distributed amongst the people that you leave behind?
Right. Okay. Okay. Let's get into now the questions that we had scheduled. What's the difference then between a will and a trust? And when should you use each of these, the will and the trust?
Sure. That is actually such a good question. Both a will and a trust is so essential when it comes to estate planning, but they both serve a different purpose. And what I mean by that, okay, it's so a will would be basically a legal document that you draft when you're alive to say how you want your assets distributed by the time of your death. So how do I want my car? How do I want my house? How do I want my clothing to be distributed amongst the people that I leave behind, right?
Right.
And then a trust is something that would come into play whether I die or even if I live. So what I mean by that is that a trust doesn't only come into effect at the time of my death. I can use it even while I am alive.
Right.
So for example, if I'm alive, I will use something called an inter vivos trust, which you can also refer to as a living trust.
Okay.
This in itself, I would appoint a trustee that would manage all of my assets for the benefit of my beneficiaries, right?
Right.
Yes. So then I can also implement a testamentary trust, which would come into effect at the time of my death.
Okay.
And this is normally implemented with my will. So because will only comes into effect at death, a testamentary trust itself would also be implemented when I die.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there's so many purposes, or there's so many trusts that you can name out there, but they all serve the purpose of protecting and controlling the assets that you have, which is why most people that have like more complex estates or multiple properties, large sums of money, they are most likely to benefit from trust more than anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting that the will and the trust are two mutually exclusive tools. And now the question is, when should you use the will? Is it only after your death? And the trust, you have given us a dual application trust. There's a living trust and a testamentary trust. So when should you use either of them? And because I heard you also saying something about the testamentary trust used in conjunction with the will. Just clarify that, please.
Okay. So a will, always, it comes into play when I die.
Right.
So at the time of my death, my will become effective and start the process of how I want to wind up my estate. Right.
Right.
So will, we use it at the time of death.
Right.
A trust, I mentioned two trusts, a living trust and a testamentary trust. So the living trust will come in play anytime during my lifetime when I have multiple assets and I say I want to manage them, that they will, that they can go directly to my beneficiaries without any court involvement.
Right.
I set up that living trust during my lifetime and get all the benefits that comes with it, right? And then the inter vivos, sorry, not the inter vivos trust, the testamentary trust that I mentioned, that one that I say gets set up with the will, because that only comes into play similar like the will at the time of my death. So I set that up while I'm alive together with my will.
Right.
And when I die, that testamentary trust comes into play to say that it must be founded for my kids, for example, and the well-being of them.
Right. So how do the powers of attorney and healthcare directives fit into the estate planning?
Sure. So power of attorneys and healthcare directives are also as important as, you know, wills and trusts that we mentioned. And not having a power of attorney or healthcare directives actually can leave gaps in your estate plan. Because an estate plan needs to be, you know, comprehensive in order for you to ensure that there's no missing gaps. So what the power of attorney and healthcare directive is normally used for is to make provision for if you become incapacitated, if something happens to you during your lifetime, so something besides you dying, you may be you fall into a coma or anything like that happens. This power of attorney and healthcare directive serve that someone that you trust is appointed then to handle all your affairs on your behalf, and that they make decisions for you, they sign off for you. So they basically serve as the stuff you'd be doing if you were alive.
Right.
So they handle all your affairs for you. Yes.
Right.
So with the power of attorney, one of the key parts actually in estate planning is preparing for the possibility that if something were to happen, is there someone there to handle your affairs? And if there's not someone there to handle your affairs, if you didn't make that provision, then the court appoints someone that they see fit to then handle your affairs. And that's not always ideal, you know? You want someone that you trust.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the
Go ahead. No, I was just going to touch on healthcare directives.
Yeah.
I was just going to give it that healthcare directive, same like power of attorney. It falls in your estate planning that someone also makes decisions on your behalf if you're unable to, right? So you can have a healthcare directive through either living will, where you put it in your will that if something were to happen to you, if you're on life support or you want to give organ donations, all that, if you're not able to make decisions for yourself, they refer back to your living will and look there, what did you want to do if you had the choice to, right? Yes, and you can also appoint a healthcare power of attorney, which is similar to how I explained what a power of attorney is.
Right. So what are the consequences of dying without an estate plan in place?
Dying without an estate plan in place, that's such a scary thought to think about. Because when you die without an estate plan, right, they refer to this as dying intestate. So that essentially means that I did not leave any provision. People don't know how I want to distribute my estate. I left my house, I left my car, I left everything, and nobody knows who I wanted to leave it for. So this in itself can lead to so many financial burdens, complications, unintended consequences for your loved ones, in that once you die without an estate plan in place and your estate goes interstate, the state then decides how they want to distribute your estate. So they go according to, they call it state succession laws, and it differs normally from state to state. But generally, they will take your spouse, your kids, your parents, and they're distributed according to what they feel is right, right?
Right.
So this is not always ideal, because if you then maybe had a friend that you wanted to appoint to inherit from your estate or get something, interstate succession does not accommodate for non-family members or special needs or anything like that.
Right.
So the way you wanted to do it would not always, they wouldn't distribute it according to, most likely they're not the way you wanted to, right?
Right.
It also makes it so complicated. The process is more lengthy. Like I mentioned in my example in the beginning, without a map, you can't, you know, you get take a lot longer to find your way there. So if you die without a will or estate plan in place, sure, it'll take you a lot longer to wind up your estate, months to years even.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm almost 50 right now, but I don't imagine I'm going to die at 50. I imagine I'll die at 70 or 80 if God so wills. If I so do put together a will and a plan, an estate plan and a will, my last will and testament, how often should one review their estate plan?
That's actually good, because the main bottom line of an estate plan, you want to make sure that it's always relevant. You want to make sure it's always up to date.
Right.
So ideally, you would want to look at it annually. every year,
Okay.
check it, browse it, make sure it's up to date. Otherwise, if anything happens in your life, like a major life event happens, by this I mean maybe a divorce happened, the death of maybe, yes, the death of someone, like maybe like a beneficiary or a spouse, or the death of a significant person happens, or even if you hit the lotto and you get a ton of money or you buy a new property, you're going to want to go back to your estate plan and just have a look at it, make changes, make adjustments, because you definitely don't want it to catch you with something happened and you haven't changed your estate plan and someone died, a beneficiary has died, and now you haven't changed that. Then that causes more complications. So ideally, it would be annually or after a major life event. Otherwise, every 3 to 5 years works as well, as long as it's always relevant.
Okay, got it. Loud and clear. It's only day one. We have 4 more days to learn more about these things. And Nadia Pillay is going to be here to help us understand. Nadia, thank you very much for your time and your insights. Looking forward to our conversation tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, Nadia Pillay is from Olamira Financial Services, and she'll be back as a financial manager, practice manager, giving us some insights on these things. Take notes. I am.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.